For Tom, Ira and Frank, with thanks and love, somehow I got lucky. Why lay yourself on the torturer's rack of the past and future? The mind that tries to shape tomorrow beyond its capacities will find no rest. Rumi. The moment's depth is greater than that of the future, and from the fields of the past, what can you harvest again? Rabia of Basra. Part 1. 15th December. Baker Close, Ludlow, Shropshire. The snow began falling on Ludlow town in the evening, while most people were doing their post-dinner washing up as a prelude to settling down in front of the television. If the truth be told, there wasn't much else to do in the town after dark, beyond tuning in to one programme or another, or heading out to a pub. And since Ludlow had, over the years, become more and more the choice of pensioners seeking tranquillity and early bedtimes amidst the medieval buildings and cobbled byways, very few complaints concerning the dearth of evening entertainment ever occurred. Like so many others in Ludlow, Gaz Ruddock, too, was doing the washing up when he first noticed the snow. He stood at a sink whose window looked out at the darkness. Mostly he could see his reflection, and the reflection of the old man who wielded the tea towel next to him. But a light in the narrow back garden illuminated the flakes as they began to come down. Within minutes, what had seemed to be only a gentle dusting altered to a real curtain of the stuff, waving in a developing breeze that made it look for a moment like lace window coverings.
"Don't like that, do I? I keep saying. That lot of good it's doing me, though."
Gaz glanced over at his companion of the tea towel. He didn't think the old bloke was talking about the snow, and he saw that he was correct, since Robert Simmons wasn't looking at the window, but rather at the washing-up wand that Gaz was using on one of their plates.
"Insanitary, that," old Rob said. "I keep saying, and you don't change over like I want."
Gaz smiled, not at old Rob. He always thought of his housemate with that adjective preceding his name, as if there were also a young Rob in the house with them, but rather at his own reflection. He and Window Gaz were sharing a knowing look. Rob nightly complained about the wand, and Gaz nightly reminded him that it was far more sanitary than filling a basin with soapy water in order to swirl glasses, crockery, cutlery, pots and pans round it, as if the water miraculously redeemed itself after every dunk of something into it. "Only thing better than this," Gaz would say with a shake of the washing-up wand, "is a dishwasher. You say the word and I'll fetch us one, Rob. Easy as anything. I'll even install it."
"Bah," Rob would reply. "Got along till 86 years and counting without such a thing, and I expect I can make it to the grave without one just as well. Mod cons, bah."
"You've a microwave, mind," Gaz would point out.
"Different, that is," was the curt reply.
If Gaz asked why possession of a microwave was different from the purchase of a dishwasher, Rob's answer was always the same. A huff, a shrug, and a
"just is all,"
and the discussion was finished. It mattered little to Gaz. He wasn't much of a cook, so there was never very much to wash. Tonight the meal had been jacket potatoes stuffed with chili con carne from a tin, with a sweet corn and lettuce salad on the side. Half of the meal had been prepared via microwave, and the tin hadn't even required an opener, possessing a pull ring instead. So all there was to wash was two plates, one wooden spoon, some cutlery and two mugs from which they'd drunk their tea. Gaz could have done the washing up and the drying on his own, but old Rob liked to help. The old gent knew that his only child, Abigail, phoned Gaz once a week for a report as to her dad's well-being, and Rob intended Gaz to declare that his charge was just as full of piss and vinegar as on the day he'd moved in. Even if Abigail's phone call hadn't been a regular feature of their life together, Gaz suspected old Rob would still have insisted on doing his part, though. It was the only way he'd agreed to admit someone into his house in the first place. Once his wife had died, he'd gone on living on his own for 6 years, but his daughter thought he was becoming too forgetful. There was his medication that wanted taking twice each day. There was also the concern that if he fell, there'd be no one in the house to find him. Abigail needed someone to be in charge of her dad, she had declared, and faced with the choice of sharing his home with a carefully selected stranger or leaving Ludlow for a life with